Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is Marie McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a now legendary single that was written by a frustrated pogo dancer who, on one random night in Canada, was thrown out of his favorite dance club. Mad and frustrated, he went home and promptly wrote a song that, all these years later, is played in clubs and on satellite radio every weekend. For A Little Slice of Heaven at number 7, we will hear what happened when an aspiring opera singer met a much older band leader who became her manager and promoted her as a blonde bombshell. While she did release several amazing singles, the twists and turns her life took ultimately took away her peace of mind. Later at number 4, we will examine a legendary grunge track taken from an album that debuted on the Billboard Top 200 chart at number 1. This particular track came about because its writer felt like he needed to lie to his girlfriend about the extent of his drug use. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we present a track that was recorded by an acoustic duo once known as Tom and Jerry. It was released and was a dismal failure, and the duo split up. One went back to college and the other went back to England. A year later, the jazz musician that produced that failure decided that the backing track behind the vocals needed to have some instruments added. Once those changes were made, its remix, so to speak, went to number 1. But first, just as we do every week, we begin with a single that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a 1 week peak and then ended up in the House of Detention. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we get on that bus with one of those records that demonstrated just how different the big charts could be. While it only peaked at number 22 in Billboard, in Cashbox, it ultimately made it up to number 7. The song itself was once played by its composer during a television appearance on Sesame Street. That composer, who claimed to have just made up a crazy little story while writing this song, later learned that Spanish-speaking rock fans were thrilled to hear a Latino name in a story song written by a famous American.
The mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Oh, what the mama saw. It was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Mama, take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical preach come to get me released, we is all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
With a song that peaked in the US at number 7 on the Cashbox charts and experienced a 1 week peak at number 40 in Australia, that was Paul Simon and his 1972 single on Columbia Records, Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 40.
number 20.
At number 20, we have an album track that was never released as a single, but certainly should have been. It was by a four-man rock act from Detroit that reached number 2 in Australia with a song called What I Like About You, and number 3 in the US and number 1 in Canada with Talking in Your Sleep. While Nimber Records did well with those singles, we believe the label sure missed out on a hit back in 1980 when they did not release this track from the group's debut album, which at the time was hovering on the album charts right around 60. It should have been released, and it should have, at the very least, charted at number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World.
I told you I'd be back one day. You're no different, you're still the same.
With a song that should have reached number 20, those were The Romantics and Girl Next Door, a track that was produced by Pete Soli at Coconut Recording in Miami.
This one went to 11.
My name is Marie McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a synthesizer song that was written after a disgruntled patron was kicked out of a dance club for pogo dancing. According to songwriter Ivan Doroshuk, as disco dancing was starting to wane and new wave forms of expression began to emerge, clubs in his native Canada wanted to restrict pogo dancing, or pogoing. In that type of dancing, the individuals on the dance floor bounced up and down, often bumping into each other. This randomness on the dance floor certainly disturbed disco dancing couples, who sometimes called the new dance dangerous. Club bouncers often agreed, and just as they did to Ivan, sometimes threw the offending pogo dancers out. One night, after being kicked out of his favorite dance club, Ivan went home and vented his frustrations into a new song.
We can dance if we want to, we can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. And so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile. Say, we can dance, we can dance, everything's out of control. We can dance, we can dance, they're doing it from pole to pole. We can dance. We can dance, everybody look at your hands. We can dance, we can dance, everybody's taking the chance.
Save the dance, oh, let's save the dance. Yes, save the dance.
Number 11 on the Billboard charts, on its way up to number 3 in Billboard and number 1 in Cashbox, those were Men Without Hats, featuring lead singer Ivan Doroshuk and his ode to pogo dancing, The Safety Dance. Incidentally, after its peak at number 3 in Billboard, The Safety Dance went ahead and spent another week at number 11 on its way down. Of course, it has never truly gone away. Every Saturday night, the song is featured on the classic New Wave Sirius XM channel known as The Wave.
number 10.
At number 10, we have an album track by the British hard rock act with two lead guitarist, Wishbone Ash. When MCA Records released the Wishbone Ash album There's the Rub back in 1974, several influential radio stations gave extensive airplay to the song Don't Come Back. In fact, according to Record World, KPFT Houston had it at number 10, CHUM Toronto charted it 9th, WMMR Philadelphia ranked it 8th, and the track made it all the way up to number 5 on the KBPI Denver Music Survey.
Where you're at.
Produced by Eagles producer Bill Simzik at Criteria Studios in Miami, that was the British band Wishbone Ash, featuring Andy Powell and Ted Turner together on lead guitars, and their album track that should have reached number 10 nationally in the US, Don't Come Back.
Number nine.
At number nine, we have an instrumental that was not originally intended to be an instrumental, but one quick listen to its string score caused the writer and producer of this legendary single to forgo any attempt to add lyrics or vocals. Originally written by soul producer Barry White for the female vocal trio Love Unlimited, this song was in its embryonic stages when Barry decided on a certain melody for its string section. After laying down the basic tracks, Barry brought in string arranger Gene Page to score the parts to be played by the orchestral ensemble. The moment he heard how those strings sounded on his melody, Barry White immediately decided that there would be no need for lyrics or vocals on this record. Nine in Cashbox on its way to number one in Cashbox, Billboard, Record World, and Canada. That was Barry White conducting the Love Unlimited Orchestra and Love's Theme.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Auden and Great should have reached number eight.
Now we are up to a song that is both modern and great, and should have reached number eight. It is a catchy, up-tempo, alternative rock song written and produced by Dave Derby, a busy musician who has produced albums for his own bands, The Dam Builders, Brilliantine, and Gramercy Arms. He has also been in charge of sessions involving Guided by Voices, Sparkle Horse, Lloyd Cole, and Tanya Donnelly. Here he is with his New York-based alternative act, Gramercy Arms, and Shining Bright.
Spend your whole change.
And should have reached number 8, that was Gramercy Arms from New York City and their catchy selection that was written and produced by Dave Derby, Shining Bright.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is an orchestrated single from 1965 performed by a beautiful singer from England who is often compared to Marilyn Monroe by the British press. Kathy Kirby was born in London in 1938. As a child, she sang in the choir at the convent school she attended, and she took singing lessons, hoping to someday become an opera singer. But at the age of 18, she met bandleader Bert Ambrose, who hired her immediately to become the vocalist for his big band, a performing entity that performed primarily in Madrid and London. In addition to being Kathy's bandleader, Ambrose also became her manager. And even though he was 42 years older than Kathy, and still technically married, he began a romantic relationship with her that, by today's standards, would likely be considered unacceptable. By playing up Kathy's Marilyn Monroe-like appearance, Ambrose secured a record deal for her. Signed to Decca, Kathy became part of the British TV show Stars and Garters. With that exposure, she soon hit number 11 with Dance On, a single that went to number 1 in Australia. Later, in 1963, she reached number 4 with Secret Love, a hit that led her to be named top female singer by the New Musical Express. After several more chart entries in England, Kathy's single The Way of Love was released in the United States and reached number 88 on the national survey, but made the top 40 of radio charts in New York, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia. By 1967, though, her singles failed to chart. Her TV appearances continued for several more years, but with her personal life in shambles, her career faltered. In 1975, she filed for bankruptcy, and in 1979, she was ordered into a psychiatric hospital. She then had a succession of high-profile boyfriends, but after battling schizophrenia, ended up secluded in an apartment for years. She died at age 72 in a residential nursing facility for theater people. With our little slice of heaven at number 7, here's Kathy Kirby from a happier time in her life, and her single that was a hit in 3 American cities, The Way of Love.
Thank you. you like a lot, and you fall in love, but he loves you not. If a flame should start as you hold him near, better keep your heart out of danger, dear. For the way of love is a way of woe, and the day may come when you'll see him go. Then what will you do when he sets you free, just the way that you said goodbye to me? Better keep your heart out of danger, dear. For the way of love is a way of woe, and the day may come when you'll see him go. Then what will you do?
Their Little Slice of Heaven at number 7. That was Kathy Kirby and the original version of a song that Cher later covered and actually took number 7, The Way of Love. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Kostiantin from the Ukraine heard our 6070 broadcast on his RSP-1 using 35-meter long wire. He reports 45454, stating that signal strength was strong and interference from other stations, nil. He also sent an air check so that we could hear how we sounded to him in the Ukraine. Well, Kostian, we greatly appreciate your information, especially your air check. We hope that you are doing well and that you continue to have a strong reception on all your favorite shortwave stations. Franco from Italy heard our 6070 broadcast on his Kenwood R2000 receiver using a Comet CWA840 and a self-made mini-whip antenna. He specified his longitude and latitude coordinates in his report and gave a separate SINPO code for each song, one of which was 25342. He also sent us an air check, which we greatly appreciate. Well, Franco, we are happy to hear from you, and we specifically bestow any blessings that we have to you and to everyone in Italy. We wish you health and safety, and hope that our broadcast can bring you a smile. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. With our 10 trips into the album chart top 40, today's FM rock act from the Bay Area certainly qualifies. This song was a very popular album track from this band's 4th album, their first to enter the album top 40. This group's 3 albums prior to this one reached number 138, number 100, and number 85. This 4th album, titled Infinity, was definitely their turning point, reaching number 21 on the album charts and containing 4 different tracks that received airplay on album rock stations.
Long. tomorrow.
Bonus hit at number 6, that was Journey and one of their first tracks to receive significant airplay, Wheel in the Sky, a selection that featured the overdubbed vocals of their new lead singer, Steve Perry.
Number 5.
My name is Marie McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have a selection from the new wave act Drama, a duo consisting of Suzanne Jerome Taylor and her husband, multi-instrumentalist Pat Taylor. Suzanne and Pat were also in The Breaks, the group whose song You Stole My Heart should have been a big hit back early in the 80s. Today we have the opening selection from Drama's album Seen from a Distance, which was released on the RCA label in 1985. Produced by Elliot Schneider at Village Recorders in LA and featuring Suzanne on vocals and Pat on guitars and keyboards, John Van Torgeren on synthesizer, and the ever-present Jack Holder on lead guitar, here is Drama with yet another song of theirs that should have reached number 5, Paralyzed.
Oh,
Suzanne Jerome Taylor on lead vocals. That was Drama at number 5 and the opening track to their LP, Seen from a Distance, Paralyzed.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we are going to play a song that was charted far better in England than it did in the US. But today, we have a selection that performed on the American charts better than it did in England. The song is considered both a mainstream and alternative classic, released during the period when grunge came along and blurred the borders between the formats. The four-man rock act that recorded it formed in San Diego under the name Mighty Joe Young. After securing a deal with Atlantic Records, they entered the studio with producer Brendan O'Brien. After changing their name to Stone Temple Pilots, they emerged with a debut album that reached number 3 and went 8 times platinum. With O'Brien producing again, their follow-up hit number 1 on the Billboard album chart during its debut week and achieved sales of 6 times platinum. Sadly, the group's success was ultimately overshadowed by the personal problems suffered by lead singer and lyricist Scott Weiland. The brilliant set of lyrics on this song, for example, resulted from the lies he told his girlfriend about his drug use. That reached number 1 on the mainstream rock charts but only hit number 53 in England, those were the Stone Temple Pilots and Interstate Love Song.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown, and once again we are talking about downtown Boston, Massachusetts. A couple of weeks ago, we played the song Moving in Stereo by The Cars, a track never released as a single from The Cars' debut album. We pointed out that, because every song on that album got some type of airplay, disc jockeys used to call their first album The Cars' Greatest Hits, Volume 1. Well, here is another band whose debut album could be their greatest hits. In 1976, this band received airplay on every single track from their very first album, very much like The Cars did a couple years later. Interestingly, both The Cars and this band originated from the same metropolitan area, Boston.
When I was younger, I thought I could
track written and produced by musical genius Tom Scholz. That was Boston and Something About You, yet another selection from their debut album that was given the type of airplay that is usually reserved for huge hit singles.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a song that we believe should have hit number 1. While its peak position at number 67 in the United States was a long way from the number 1 slot it deserved, in England it almost made it, reaching number 2.
Looking from a window above, it's like a story of love. Can you hear me? Came back only yesterday. I'm moving farther away. Won't you near me? All I needed was the love you gave. All I needed for another day. And all I ever knew, only you. Sometimes when I think of her name, when it's only a game.
You, a song that should have hit number one in Billboard, Cashbox, and in England. That was the duo made up of Alison Moyet and Vince Clark, called Yazoo in Europe and Yaz in the US. Keyboardist Vince Clark actually wrote that song while he was a member of Depeche Mode, but left that group before they got around to recording it.
Number 1.
Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number 1. It is a social commentary that, based upon its winding trip up the charts, was obviously just a tiny bit too raw and ahead of its time. In September 1963, a duo formerly known as Tom and Jerry attracted the attention of record producer Tom Wilson, an African-American jazz musician. Wilson helped the duo land a deal with Columbia Records, and he produced their first album for the label titled Wednesday Morning 3 AM. Featuring the duo's harmony vocals over a simple acoustic guitar, the album was recorded in March of 1964, but was not released until 7 months later in October. The album went nowhere. It was such a commercial failure that the duo broke up. One of them went to England to try a different musical direction, and the other went back to college at Columbia University. Then, out of nowhere, in 1965, a song from that album started receiving airplay on WBZ in Boston, and on a small station in Cocoa Beach, Florida. Producer Tom Wilson was notified of this airplay and gave the song a fresh listen. It dawned on Wilson that the song needed more instrumentation, so in order to make the song sound more like Turn, Turn, Turn by the Byrds, Wilson booked additional studio time and recorded Al Gorgoni and Vinnie Bell on electric guitars, Bob Bushnell on bass, and Bobby Gregg on drums. He then mixed the added instruments over the acoustic guitar and vocals on the original recording. Unbelievably, he did all of this without remembering to tell the two guys who actually sang the song. The one who had gone to England, Paul Simon, returned to New York to start working with his partner, who delayed his schooling yet again, Art Garfunkel. When they got back into the studio to record album number two, they once again worked with the producer that literally gave them their first hit single, Tom Wilson.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked along narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed. Silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls. Sounds of silence.
With our Hall of Perfection track at number one, that was the duo Simon and Garfunkel and the Sounds of Silence, a record that went from being a complete failure to hitting number one, and later was named to the National Recording Registry in the Library of Congress. That's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check on our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email address, those are all lowercase, and 40 is the number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.
Alt Universe Top 40.